because God show up, hallelujah. Then he show up in a supernatural way, hallelujah. Come on, let's celebrate him one more time, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can't go in the new year without giving God the glory, hallelujah. We can't go in the new year the same old way we was last year, hallelujah. This year we made up in our mind that this year is going to be different, God. I'm not going to hold back my worship. I'm not going to hold back my praise. You've been too good to me, hallelujah. If that's you, come on, come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 But if you know God ain't done nothing for you, I don't mind you sitting down. I don't mind you not tapping your hand. I don't mind you don't saying a word. If God ain't woke you up, I don't even worry about that. He had to put food on your table. I don't mind if you don't say nothing. But if you know that you know, that God is the one that did it. If you know that you know, hallelujah, God. Woo! Hey, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Just take out a wave of offering, hallelujah, worship. I know your worship will take a few minutes just to show God how much you appreciate him. How much you adore him. How much you thank him. Hallelujah. When you weren't faithful, he was faithful to you. When you didn't thank him, he still blessed you. When you weren't faithful to him, he woke you up. Hallelujah. It wasn't the alarm clock. It was God touching you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 The psalmist said, when I speak, he didn't say, when I think up, when I throw stuff out there, he didn't really do, but when I think of the and all that he's like, God is a miracle working God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to survey Mount Olive. I want you to survey Mount Olive. Survey Mount Olive. Just look around at Mount Olive. Look around at Mount Olive. And I want you to focus on the one that you heard that was at the doctors and they gave up and there was nothing the doctors could do. But yet, when you look over and you see him or her, well, come on, come on. You got to celebrate God in that moment, because you know that it was God that did it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. It's time for us to celebrate God's work. Not only in my life, but in the lives of others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me bring some young adult members in here who you know, sometimes they get a little boost with it, you know. They get like they don't need to do all that. But if you in college and you didn't pay a bill and the bill was already paid and you sit here with your arms folded as if you did that, come on, Mama may have done it, Daddy may have done it, but God, if God don't bless Mama, if God don't bless Daddy, you don't have no tuition. Yeah, I get them in a minute. Yeah, that's all you want. But when the financial aid people say, pack up your bag and get out your dorm, you crying, oh, Lord, what you gonna do, Mama? Yeah, But when you don't have that to worry about, you sitting there like, yeah, God, yeah, I know, God, my mama did all that. I really ain't got to worry about that. But if you know that your mama was on the pink slip list, or somehow she got favor and the pink slip slipped over her and she still blessed and you still teach her like, okay, alright. There were more people qualified for the scholarship and somehow your name got lit up and they gave you the scholarship of 1,000 people who they could have gave money to. See, sometimes when you get students, student loans and you paying your bills, I can appreciate when somebody pays mine.
Yeah.
Sorry, Billy God, you made me sit down. I ain't nothing to
talk.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah for the honor and the glory. And to be honest with my life, I don't even apologize. You know, I heard a number of people say, "Kid, you too loud, you shout too much," but you don't know how good God is.
Come on, tell it.
Because you don't know how good He's been to me. I'm thankful to God.
Yeah.
I should have been dead a long time ago. But He blessed me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you all living on borrowed time. The car wreck didn't kill you.
Mm-hmm.
The stroke didn't kill you.
Well.
And arthritis didn't take you out. Gout ain't rest in your knee and they didn't amputate you.
Yeah.
You still got mobility.
Yes, sir.
I don't apologize. All right. And in 2014, we're going higher.
Yeah.
And higher. Everybody say, every round rolls. Give honor to our pastor, hallelujah. Pastor Stinger, hallelujah. Let's give him a clap of praise for him. For the 60 pounds, Reverend Smith and Reverend Jasper, hallelujah. Praise God for him. And Mr. Wilson, that's in the audience, praise the Lord for her. And the choir, praise the Lord for every Lottie Dottie and everybody. Honored to be here. I thank God for modern technology. Because sometimes you're thankful to get the call, but sometimes you look at the call and you say, "Lord, have mercy. If that is that Pastor Stinger, that dad on the phone, Lord, have mercy. Please, not now. Don't call me now. Not right now. Lord, have mercy." But praise the Lord as always. And always I am blessed and honored to that He thinks enough to be able to reach out. So I praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah. If you don't have your Bibles, please turn to a familiar passage. Hallelujah. I had to pull out the reservoir, but I pray that this would be a blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Where are we going? Acts chapter number 14. Acts chapter number 14. When you have it, please stand. All that can stand, let's please stand. Give honor to God and His word. Amen. Hallelujah. All those who can't stand, please stand. Acts chapter 14. All right. Sitting next to somebody, please make sure that they in Acts. A-C-T-S. Make sure they're not in the Old Testament. Acts. If you can't find it, look at the table of contents. Amen. If you open up your Bible, just go right. Just go right till you find Acts. Amen. Acts chapter number 14. And we'll focus on verse 19 and 20. Verse 19 and 20. You all have it. Say amen.
Amen.
But the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, having won over the crowds. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead.
Mm-hmm.
But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city. And the next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But the Jews came from Iconium and Antioch, winning over the crowds. They stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city,
mm-hmm.
supposing him to be dead.
Mm-hmm.
You may be seated.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't mind, let me preach for a while. The marks of ministry. The marks of ministry. The marks of ministry. I almost gave it a double title, but I throw it out there for your own interest. I'm destined to survive.
All right.
I am destined to survive.
That's right.
Let me pray. Father, we love you, we honor you, we bless you.
Think with my mind, Lord. Speak with my lips. Only let you be exalted.
Yes.
Father, minister to your people.
Yes.
Use me like you've never used me before. That somehow, God, these small little words become a rhema word to the lives of your people. That at the end, oh God, they would say it was not Minister Cole. But God, it was you spoke to me today. Mm-hmm. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you don't mind, Acts chapter 14, verses 19 and 20. It's interesting here as I go back. That, you know, if you were to go to the movies, Pastor Stinger, when you go to the movies, sometimes when I take little Bruce and take my nephew and take all my cousins, little ones, they always want to stop at the concession stand. And even sometimes, even when I get a date, when I get a date,
you heard that?
Get a date. You know, she has a nerve that I pay. You know, the 20 that movies has gone up. Movies is not cheap anymore.
Yeah.
They're not cheap date anymore. That's a serious date. But these, sometimes I try to do all I can as I'm on the date to make sure you've eaten, you good, we good, we gotta get you to the movies, we good.
That's
I'm
right.
Trying to get her away from the concession stand.
Right.
The concession stand may cost me more than what the movie is.
That's
because
right.
You can get along unless
yes,
you want to get a hot dog and a pizza and a soda. You need soda. Can you just get the pizza and that's it? That's $4. Can you just get $4? But when I take my nephews and them, that's four of them.
Yes,
and they all want the concession stand. They all want Goobers. They all want Twizzlers. They all want, you know, Slurpees. They want stuff on the menu that's not even on the menu. They always, and I end up paying a whole lot more. And so for issues of time, as you are going to the movies and now you are there and you're taking the kids and you stop at the concession stand only to find out that the movie and the previews have already been passed. And
wow.
Here you are when you get down. Now you got to, through the flashlight, if you don't have a flashlight, you got to look in the dark because everybody's seated and you got to try to find a seat for, not just now, sometimes you go to movies naked, you may not get a seat together. You may be seated separately.
Yeah, right.
But sometimes you got to find a seat. And when you sit down, and you know how people are when you sit down and you got to move all the way over and you're blocking the screen from there to there, see what's going on. So, and here you are, you sit down and you see this man being stoned, dragged out of the city.
Yeah.
The questions arise. Mm-hmm. What did he do to cause some kind of affliction? Mm-hmm. How bad is it that they would stone the man, drag him out of the city,
that's right.
To the point killed him?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So if you don't mind, let me wake you up to what you've missed.
Come on.
Because, Brother Kevin, it's interesting. That people, when they see you right now, they see your suit, they see your nice tie, and they think that he has it all together, that he's always had it all together, but they don't know what happened before you got to where you are.
Yeah.
And some people don't get the story, and so
they're going to
judge you based on what they see, and not realize that there's a story behind the tie, there's a story behind the suit. Don't fool me now. I know you ain't the only one. Behind the dress, there is a story. Behind the skirt and the stockings, there is a story. By the 4-inch heels, there is a
story.
So Paul, he finds himself in Acts chapter 9. Paul was interesting about Paul. He was now called persecuting Christians. Paul didn't like the Jesus movement. He couldn't stand people who were following Jesus.
That's
he
right.
thought that Jesus was a new superhero. He thought Jesus was a man that wasn't doing God's work. He was doing a separate work outside of God. And so Paul, he decided, well, let me help God out and let me get rid of these Jesus things. Well, we got rid of Jesus, Paul. You didn't have to do that. They already did that already in the book of Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But here we are in Acts, and I thought we got rid of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus had our kids. I know he didn't have biologically kids, but there are 12 other men, and not only 12 other men, there are women and children that are now called Jesus followers. There's some people that Jesus touched, and they are now still doing the work of the Lord. I thought we got rid of Jesus, but here we come. Now we turn around the corner. He got got relatives, he got cousins, he got uncles, he got all these people, and we got to shut them up because we don't want them either. And so as we're going, let me hurry on. So as we're going, Paul now gets himself together, and as he's on his beast, the Bible says that he has, in Acts chapter number 9, he has all of these not only by himself, he has his own posse.
That's right.
His posse was to kill the Jesus movement. The posse to kill the Jesus movement, all right? And so here is posse. He's on his horse, and he's going to what? Persecute and kill Christians. It's amazing, Jasper. I wonder if that may be the reason why we got these lollipop Christians. Maybe because ain't no persecution that are coming to them, that's why they can be as fluffy as they want to be. And well, let me explain what a lollipop Christian is. This is a lollipop theology that means that everything I want to live on the sweet things of life. As long as I got Jesus, I am okay. I don't worry about me reading my Bible. Don't talk to me about being on fire. I love coming to church. I love being good. I come to work and I come to church. I do my due. I love the sweet things. As long as Jesus is doing me good and we good, I'm good. But Jesus, don't get into my business. Don't tell me how to live. Don't tell me how to think. Don't tell me how to talk. Don't tell me how to live my life, Jesus. Well, just stay where you at, Jesus. I stay where I'm at. Lollipop Christians. As long as God is good, we good. But the minute something break, minute something happen, they don't just leave church, they leave God. Hallelujah. But now Paul, he's on his beast, Pastor Dingin, he's on his beast, and the Bible says, as he's on his way, that the Bible says that he sees a great light and hears a voice. He sees a great light and hears a great voice. He sees a great light and he hears a voice. And so all of a sudden now, the light knocks him off his beast. He falls off his beast, and now he's nowhere, and he's there. And the men around him, what's interesting, Reverend Jasper, is that the men who are with him, they don't see the light, but they hear the voice. Isn't it interesting how God can use one situation and touch everybody around the situation? You may get one thing from God, and I get something else. But God uses the same situation to get everybody's attention. And so here's Paul. And he's on his way to knock off his feet. Brother Andrew, it's interesting that I thought that the only way I can get God to get in touch with me is if I'm in church. So as long as I stay home, God ain't going to bother me. He ain't going to touch me. He ain't going to say nothing to me. God is on one side, I'm on the other side of the street. Me and God, we are outstanding. I don't touch him, he don't bother me. But I'm just learning that this passage tells me that regardless of where you are, God knows how to find you. God knows how to get your attention. God knows how to make you follow and fall down. And so Paul says, the Bible says, he hears the voice and say, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Isn't that interesting? And he said, whom, Lord, am I persecuting? And he said, I am Jesus.
That's right.
Glory be to God. But notice Paul says, Lord. So which means he knew that this wasn't Mother Nature. This wasn't an accident or coincidence. This is God coming up in my business. If there's anybody, and you're going to notice, no, Brother Nava, I could be in the club, and all of a sudden I'm dancing with the woman I'm trying to get with, and all of a sudden the thought comes, you know you shouldn't be here. I know the DJ music is loud, but you know you shouldn't be dancing. You know you shouldn't be doing it. You know you're in the wrong time. Has anybody ever been like that? You've been somewhere you weren't supposed to be, and all of a sudden a voice or a thought or a word comes to you and says, I remember I didn't go a little further. I was there dancing with this girl. I've been wanting her for a long time. I've been looking at her for a minute. You know, I've been looking for a minute. I've been looking for a minute. And so I finally, just Lucy, I come up and say, hey, guess what? How you doing? I'm Kenny Cole. You know, I'm Kenny Cole, in case you didn't know I'm Kenny. And so God went to say, hey, dog. And she said, aren't you a deacon? I'm sorry, we're in the club, not at church. Are you a deacon? Now that messed my groove up already. That messed my magnetic vibe up already. I didn't know what to do. So I said, yeah, I'm a deacon. Are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, that's good to me too. I know we're the only one. Don't act like I'm the only one that's got that. Don't act like that don't make it all right because they're a Christian. A lot of us say, yeah, you got to at least be a Christian and say you are. But as long as we can do the same old things, we all right. We got a lot of things in common. Yeah, yeah, so yeah. I was under the impression, you weren't going to make me say no, baby. Whatever you tell me, I got something for you. Yeah, you're a Christian? I'm a Christian too. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, just can I get the number? So Paul, he is blinded because of the light. God has, like a fishing rod, put the fishing in the water, and he bit the bait.
That's right.
And now he got a hook in his mouth.
Yes, sir.
And Paul says he's blinded. Now, what's interesting, Pastor Stinger, is that way about 100 and some miles later, there's an old preacher, an old deacon, who's been, not Deacon Campbell, but an old deacon. praying at the mourner's bench. Y'all know about the mourner's bench. He's praying at the mourner's bench, and as he's praying, God interrupts his prayer.
That's right.
And says, Ananias, I need you to go to a street called Straight. There is a man named Saul of Tarsus. He's praying. So Ananias said, are you kidding me? Lord, do you know who that dude is? That is the killer of the neighborhood. He's killing us Christians. You know you need us alive. And you're going to send me on a death wish to go to a street going straight right up to. Now, it's one thing, God, I can accept it if I bump into him by accident and I get killed. But you sending me right there, like David with Uriah, with a death note saying, kill me, Saul. It's interesting how God will send you where you don't want to go.
Well.
And while he's there, Ananias say, Lord, do you know who that dude is? And it's amazing. Why does people feel the need to give God information he already knows?
Come on, sir. Make it plain.
And some of us, to the peg, we miss it. God has the answer provided before the question came.
That's right.
He said, find Saul who's praying. In order for Paul to be praying, there has to be a transformation.
Yes, sir.
And so here, Ananias says, no, God says, I answered the question before you had it. He's praying, which means I'm already at work, Ananias. Just get up and go. It's interesting how sometimes, Angelo, we don't like the people that God saves. All of us, we want God to choose who comes in church and who doesn't. Who he think he is up there preaching? How do I pass things that him preach? He know how he lives his life. He ain't ready to be no preacher. He ain't ready to do that. All this stuff about a resume about somebody, but put your mouth on people that God is about to use.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so number one, qualifying for ministry. Paul, the Bible says, Ananias gets there and laid hands on Paul, and Paul receives his sight. And the Bible said, number one, Paul, tell Paul, number one, the qualifications for ministry is the fact that you've been chosen. Somebody say chosen.
Chosen.
God has chosen you to do a service for him. God has chose you on his lineup to be a representation of his glory in the earth. Did you know that God chose you?
That's right.
I know you think you came down here and chose God. But what God let you know, I chose you before you got here.
That's right.
I made up my mind to choose you, and there was nothing good in you for God to choose you.
That's right.
He just decided to choose you.
That's right.
And so, God, so Paul, you're number one, you're chosen. Somebody said, number two, you've been called. Somebody say, called.
Call.
Let me hurry on. Called means it's a Greek word, hupobolon, Reverend Jasper. What that means is a throwing beyond. And so, what God does with the fishing rod, he throws the call. And you hear, which means that God says that whatever I called you to is further than where you are. Isn't it interesting? God will call you to do something that your shoes can't feel the position.
Well, that's what he does. Yes, sir.
See, God don't call to qualify. He qualifies the call.
That's right.
And so what God does is
will you in through everything that he called you to. Yeah. So whatever you're going through, it cannot stop God's call.
That's right. That's
so God said, when I called you, I chosen you. Mm-hmm. So nothing can stop what I've done in your life, so I'm pulling you.
But he said, number one, Paul, the calling is forward. But he says, Paul, but I set you apart.
Yeah.
There is a call he shows me in my past. I didn't know, right?
Yeah.
In my future, there's a calling. But the right now, he says, set apart. You've been set apart to live for God right now.
Mm-hmm.
You have called to be holy.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Remember that? Here's what's interesting about being set apart.
Uh-huh.
It's not the holy being set apart for the holy.
Uh-huh.
It's the unholy being set apart for the holy.
Yeah.
Yes, which means, Sister Ambers, while I'm jacked up where I am, I don't cross every T, I don't dot every I, I don't get it all right, but somehow God has a way of separating me and putting me apart from everybody else. Have you ever been there you couldn't fit in on the bad side? I tried to go back to the club, couldn't fit in, I ain't know nobody, I ain't know no dancing, I ain't know what to do, but I didn't feel too good with the church folk, because the church folk were too pompous and too righteous and too stiff, too ugly. No, I don't fit in none of them. And God said, I ain't called you to fit in.
Yeah,
that's
right.
I called you to be different.
Yeah.
And so, my, in case you don't know it or not, you can't go in 2014 with the 2013 attitude.
That's right.
Time out for your New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
It's time in for my God solutions.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
That I made up my mind. This year it's going to be about me and God.
Mm-hmm. All right. Come on.
But too often we put other stuff with God. God, I want other stuff. So let me move on. Chapter 3. I said to knock you. Want me to move on? Let me move on. So here we are. We find ourselves in chapter number 14. Paul now has been used of God to do some miraculous things. It's amazing, my brother. When I start to think of my life, I never saw preaching. But look at me.
That's right.
That shows that God
that's right.
Has a unique sense of humor. Because I was jacked up and raggedy and messed up. But God said, son, I got to clean you up because I have a purpose and I'm fulfilling for you to do.
That's right.
So here we are in 2014. Chapter 14, Paul, the Bible says in verse number 1, he is up there, right? He has been now preaching the gospel. And Paul is preaching in chapter 14. As Paul is preaching, my brother, the Bible says that he was winning over the crowd. As he was winning over the crowd, the Bible says that people started to wanting to stone him.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's preaching the gospel.
Yes, sir.
I don't know why I got to stay on this, but I'm trying to understand how people can be in church 30 years, have know they've been chosen, know they have been called, and know that God has set them apart, but they still live their life as if they're not called. You can't never find them preaching. I ain't talking about the pulpit, I'm talking about on your job. You can't never find them praying. You can't never find them really living a different life. 30 years that you've been in church and all we've known, I've been called. I've been called. Well, what you doing with it? I ain't done nothing yet. I'm scared. But next year, you know I've been called, right? You know there's a call on my life. And you ain't done nothing. And then you're tired of hearing it. You just sound like a broken record. That God is saying, I'm waiting on you. You ain't waiting on me. And is there anybody here that's waiting for God to give you this miraculous sign that I want to use your life? Here, the minute I got on fire to sing, when I got on fire, I didn't ask God one question about what to do. I've been in church long enough to already know what to do. So what I started doing was, because God changed my heart and he saved me, I started telling everybody. And my question is, you ain't got to start in the pulpit, but can you start with your coworkers?
That's right.
Can you start with your family members?
Or maybe you do what they do and you can't talk about it. Mm. Because the minute you open up your mouth, you know you're a hypocrite.
Well,
that ain't part of my sermon. So here we are. We are now. And Paul is preaching. And as he's preaching the gospel, that all of a sudden now, the Bible says that the people wanted to stone him. And as they wanted to stone him, the Bible says Paul then got wind of it and escaped. There, it's interesting that when God puts me on the enemy's line, the enemy want to wipe but somehow God gives me a download. He gives me a download that there's danger around, and Kenny, I want you to move. Maybe you're sitting in the danger because your ear not close to God's mouth. So as long as God's talking, you don't hear. And all of a sudden you say, God, what in the world's going on? He said, baby, if you open your ears up, maybe you'll hear me tell you that there's danger around you. Hallelujah. But I ain't kidding to get on you. I'm here to let you know that even when the enemy sets you up, because you're destined to survive, the enemy can't do anything to you that God doesn't allow. Hallelujah. And so Paul, he slid out the back door. He slid out and he got away, Brother Angelo. And all of a sudden now, he finds himself going down to Lystra. And as he's going down to Lystra, the Bible says he sees a man who's never walked. And he's crippled from birth. Paul sees him and says, seeing that the man has what? Faith.
Seeing he has.
To but believe. The prerequisite for God's healing process is us to believe that he has the power to do it. Stop worrying about mama's faith. And grandma's faith, and uncle's faith, and Pastor Stinger's faith. You gotta have faith. But here, this man, he's crippled. He's never walked. And so, Kayla, you know, if you've been crippled all your life, you don't know when there's a God moment. Because every day you cripple in the same situation. So you don't know that this man is different than any other man you've met. So this is the opportune time where you need to exemplify faith when you don't see God. And all of a sudden now, this man says, I have no other hope but hope that maybe this man can make a difference. I hear him preaching, which means he must believe what he's preaching. And what he's preaching about sounds makes it sounds good. So if it sounds good, then I need to, and Paul, and the Bible says, the man looked at him with faith. This doesn't say a follower of Paul and Jesus. It's a man outside of church. Got faith. So he stands and Paul says, in the name of Jesus. Rise up and The Bible says the man gets up. And then all of a sudden, the people started to praise Paul. Some say you are Zeus. Some say you are Mercury. Some say you are the God who have come down in human language. See, what the theology of that culture in that town was that they believed that the Greek gods sometimes took up residence among men. So when people do supernatural miracles, they couldn't do it on their own. It must be Zeus. It's interesting how God will use a miracle to expose the culture.
Come on,
Zach. It's amazing how God can heal Brother Payne and see how sometimes you are lethargic in your praise.
Come on here.
It's amazing how God do miracle after miracle, and here we come to church, we can't clap our hands, we can't say amen, and we wonder why God said, I did that to see how bad you really are. You don't know how to praise me, you don't give me the honor, and you don't give me the glory, and so here they are, they did it. And Paul says, they started worshiping him. I'm for the interest of time, let me go on. I went to Megafest. And so, it was hot in Atlanta. It was hot in Atlanta. But I didn't have a ticket to go to Megafest. So here I am walking in Atlanta by myself. I knew the Megafest had Georgia Dome. You know, Megafest, T.D. Jason, the whole big family, conference, and people come from everywhere down there. So here I'm at Megafest, and I'm walking in the heat to the Georgia Dome. I hear the crowds, and I hear the people going in. But I know I ain't got no ticket. Mm-hmm. But I know I can hang in the lobby and see something. I may not get a session, may not get a concert, but I can just be in the lobby, around Christians. I just want to be around Christians. Yeah. And anybody here just want to be around other believers? Yeah. So now, this limo pulls up. The limo pulls up, and the limo is going the exact same mile per hour I'm walking. So I'm from D.C., you know, I'm from D.C., and so you can't let nobody know you sweating. You can't let nobody know you're geeking off. You can't let them know you got starstruck. You can't act like you know that the person in the limo is a super person, and you can't let them know you really, really like it. My heart said, man, I want to lose the limo, but I had to act like I was cool. And even though it was hot, I still had to slow down the road. I didn't slow down the road because I was cool. I slowed down the road because it was hot. And when it's hot, you can't speed up the pace because you're sweating your muscles. I had to cool down. So it looked like I was walking very gently and casually. I'm just walking and the limo just driving. I'm just walking and the limo just driving. I'm walking and the limo just driving. And all of a sudden, you get to the door and the limo pulls up. And I said, oh, Lord, I don't know who this is, but this is my time of day. I'm at the right place
at the right time.
Oh, yeah. I'm at the right place, right time. And so all of a sudden now, the car doors open. And so I should be the moment of moments. So at the moment, I don't know who's getting out. And so when I saw who got out, I said, oh, my gosh. Woo! And I said in my heart, I didn't say it in my lips. I couldn't let that person know I was. I'm 40-something years old. I can't let him know that a 40-year-old grown man is sitting here celebrating. I can't do that. And so here I am. And so he gets out, and I said, oh man, if my daughter only knew who is right here. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm right here. Man, woo, woo. And so I'm going up. I said, well, the first thing I need to do is get to the door before anybody else gets to the door. And I got the car, and so I get to the door, and I'm ready to put my hand on the door, and all of a sudden, the big bodyguard bumped me out of the way. Boom. I'm from the hood, but, the thug trying to come out me. Right? In my mind, it's all in my mind. Y'all get y'all free will of my mind. My mind said, dude, you don't be bumping me like that, but he was so, Claude Duncan style. He's so, Claude Duncan, the big dude that passed away. Big Claude Duncan. So he was that size. And I said, my mind said, yeah, Tim, you can think that all you want, but you better not open up your mouth and say it. Do you see how big this dude is? I got my hand, please. My eyes burn, So I better not say that to this dude. So he moved out the way. And so now we're inside there. And I'm walking. And I'm like, wow. And there's five people who see him. See this artist? They see him. And they say, ooh. And there's one dude. Now again, the bodyguard of him, I'm third. I'm like, they like coming to Entourage. Yeah. No ticket, Kenny Coco. They're up behind the Entourage. Yeah, I'm in here now. Yeah, I'm right. So any picture taken, guess where Kenny Coco at? So I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, what blew me away was the guy that it seemed like he knew had saw him afar. So he runs up, and he's going up, and he's saying, hey, man, and the artist was getting ready to salute him and celebrate him and say and greet him. The bodyguard said, hold up, dude, whoa. Did I forgot to tell you this is Megafest?
Yeah.
I forgot to tell y'all that. I forgot to tell y'all, this is a Christian. So now, all of a sudden now, Caleb, 5 minutes later after this transaction, I'm monitoring all of this. It's flat action, but it's slow motion in my mind, because that's how God works the time. I don't even know it's going to be illustration moment, but somehow it's an illustration moment now. So it's now speed is on rewind. It's on slow motion. So I'm watching this, and here comes this girl. And she comes up, 8 years old. And she comes and she says, ah! And she spins around, ah! Ah! And she turns and she's crying. Kids come from everywhere. Oh my God! I can't believe it! And they're celebrating. Now it goes from one guy to five to now 1,005 minutes. Kids are everywhere. It's pandemonium. It's a security nightmare. And here, Kenny Cole is right in the middle of it. And God said, take a step back. I take a step back.
and hear these kids are screaming. And on top of that, they'll keep coming, and they're coming from every direction because the word got out that this person is there. And blew my mind, boo, was not that moment. Was now, it's pandemonium. And so now the event staff say, you got to do something. We can't control this crowd. And they go to the entertainer. He steps up on the podium. You know, the booths, they got to sell something. And the kids went from volume 12 to volume 0 in a matter of
my Lord.
And God says, here's this moment, Acts chapter 14. Here they are, worshiping a man. Be careful when God uses you that you don't let people put you on a pedestal that God didn't put you on.
That's right.
And here we are, 2008. This is real life. They're worshiping people. And Paul said, we're not worshiping us. Don't bow down to us. We are mere men.
That's it.
But it's the church's fault. We put these gospel people up there like they're gods. I don't come to church unless my favorite preacher preaching. Celebrate. Let my favorite choir sing. Then I'll be there. Let Jay come here. It's packed out. We celebrate.
That's right.
Gospel entertainers. That's what I call it. Masquerading as gospel worshipers, they're entertainers. And here these people were worshiping. Who are you worshiping?
My Lord.
In 2014, Joshua says, choose this day. Whom you going to serve?
My Lord.
So let me move on. The marching ministry. So Paul now, he said, he turns off his clothes, he bowed down and says, no more. But the Bible says in verse number 19, that Paul now is now just been worshipped. And so now, they are now saying, Paul is winning over the crowd. And the Bible said that the people came from Antioch all the way to Iconium. The first mark of ministry is that you got to encounter adversaries. So I say encounter adversaries. You got to expect haters to come when God is trying to use you. In 2014, you got to expect that everybody ain't going to like you. Everybody's not going to be happy when you're talking about Jesus and when you're trying to do live right for him. You got to expect people to come and hate on you. It ain't your hat, it ain't your skirt, it ain't your suit. It's God that's working in you, and because God is working, they can't stand it.
My Lord.
But when you get on fire for God, can I promise you, not to say this or not, but when you get on fire, watch how your friends look at you. When you start saying Jesus every other city, people say, oh, Lord, that's that Caleb. I don't know what she keeps talking about Jesus for. I don't want to hear no Jesus talk. But as long as you're talking their talk, they're happy.
Yeah, that's right.
But the minute you decide to get on fire, this ministry is a lonely place.
Yes, it is.
So the Bible says that they went from Iconium and all the way to Iconium, which means 200 miles. Pee Wee, 200 miles. Driving is how many hours? Three, four? Walking? Can you imagine how angry you have to be mad to go 200 miles to stop Jesus? You can't be mad at this first set lane and get to the end and be happy. You got to be mad every step. You know how mad a person, what did I say? The enemy won't stop till he comes against what God is doing in your life. You got to expect it. Right? So the Bible says that they won over, Austin Kim, they won over the crowd. Paul and his preaching. Here comes some dudes from Antioch, come down and win over the crowd that just said, I want to serve Jesus.
We
got some fickle Christians.
My Lord.
No matter how much you preach, no matter how much you teach, they leave in, hallelujah, but they go out
are fickle like that.
Yeah. My Lord.
You say hallelujah, not all of them, but when you're running through Saturday, say, I got you. Come on,
my Lord.
I wish you would say amen. You know you better sit your hands folded up. I'll date you Monday through Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
And the enemy causes division. And the Bible said they went from just a moment, Cecilia, they went from hallelujah, this is Zeus, to who this dude, get him out of our city. Yep. So number one, you gotta encounter adversaries.
Yeah.
Point number two, you got to endure affliction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bible says that they stone fall. Rep Jack, come here, Rep Jack, come here, Rep Jack. Rep Smith, come here, Rep Smith. All right. Yeah, praise the Lord. That's it, don't feel left out. It is. It's just trying to illustrate you more. Illustrate you more. Illustrate you more. All right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Paul and Barnabas. All right. Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas. All right. All right. So what I want, if you all, for the interest of time, I want you all, the Bible says, that y'all stone him. So I need y'all to pick up some. This is your moment to get him. It's your moment. Don't miss your moment. Get him. Get him, y'all. Get him. Right. Come on. It's time. It's time. The only way you can get away with it, be cool. All right. Come on. Come on. Throw stone. All right. All right, let's see the Academy Award. Let's see the Academy Award. All right. Oh my God, look at him, look at him. Oh, look at the acting. Oh, wonderful. Oh my God, the Oscar. He's going for an Oscar. All right. Now, that was interesting. That for illustration purposes, that God always steps in these moments with me. I don't know what happens. It's all of a sudden now that the people on this side threw the rocks, but I didn't see nobody on this side. But it's interesting, just because they don't look like they throw stones, they verbally throw stones. They are snipers, if you will. They are worse than the people who actually throw, because these are the ones that smile at you, but at the same time, while you're walking away, they throw their stones at you and try to hit you. And some of y'all try to act like y'all, see, I don't want to get involved with this. Who is this preacher up here trying to hit you with stones? I'm betting that. I ain't coming to church. I wish I would, but yeah, you do it every chance you get. You may not do it in public, but you do it in silence. You do it in the conversation with your girlfriend. You do it around the table at your house. You throw stones, and now he's done. Let's try this again. Let's try it one time. Throw stone. Yeah, they ready now. Look, yeah, they ready. All right, now, what's interesting is Barnabas said, ouch. Did y'all hear him? Did y'all see him block? Well, here's my question. Kim, won't you do me a favor? Is the Bible sitting next to you? Oh, I mean, put your spot like that. So, you know, y'all people over there, y'all had the Bible laid out. All right. You got it there? All right. Show me what verse 19 says. Yeah.
They don't
fall.
They don't
fall. Oh, I just said. It's somebody else out of Paul.
And
drag him. Drag him.
Yeah.
I thought they were plural. I thought Barnabas said out. Here, says Ambrose, people know how to fake suffering. And make you feel like you're throwing stones at them. But ain't nobody throwing any stone. That's only their only self-information. That stuff they bring about them, their own issue is raising up and trying to blame it on you and get you throwing stones. Ain't nobody throwing those stones at you, dude. We didn't stunt you, dude. We didn't even care about what God doing to you, dude. Sit down. Place blame. You hear him, Deacon? I'm just going to do so much. Pray for me, Deacon. What you going to do? Well, you know, my cat just got died, and sit down. My cat died? Don't get me wrong, I'm sorry. But really? Really, my goldfish died? Really? So, here.
Paul gets gone. Here's my question. Why Paul and not Barnabas? Huh? Isn't it interesting that I said I'm destined to survive? And sometimes God takes me through stuff that everybody that's around me don't go through. So maybe I understand why you may not praise like me. Because maybe you ain't been through the hell I've been through. And you've been on easy street and it's okay. But me, maybe it's because God has taken me through so much. And so much. And so much. I have no choice but to. Or maybe you are a Paul in affliction. But you are Barnabas in praise. Don't praise him, but go through affliction. All right, so Paul, Barnabas, real quickly. So now Barnabas, babe, come on now. Now, can you do it on your 4-3? I know you have to let one of them shoot. It's enough to, Tyler, it's enough that they stone him.
That's right.
Right? They say, and drags him out of the city. They threw him out of the city. There's some people that go through so much, and you say, God, when is it going to stop? Rocks of marital problems, rocks of financial problems, rocks of my body and affliction, and rocks of grieving. God took my loved one. I'm going to get rocks.
Yes, sir.
And you're going through. And God, why does Barnabas don't go through what I go through?
That's right.
Yeah. It seems like God, you're singling me out. Is anybody here that feel like that?
My Lord.
That God, if I'm serving you, why did you protect me? Why did you let him bless me? Why did you let her rape me? Why did you let me lose my job, Lord? Why did you take my loved one? When you know I've been done. That's all I had, God. I'm trying to be faithful. I'm trying to be committed. But God, I can't take no more.
My Lord.
Barnabas and Paul probably saying, Lord, why me? But maybe there's some Barnabas here that you're looking at what Paul went through. And you say, if I got to go through that to follow Jesus, I'm going to stay myself right.
Come on. Yes, sir.
So maybe that's the reason why some of us don't really get into following him. Because maybe it's too much to handle.
Well,
my God can't let this be much on me. But I'm so celebrated. Because much given, must be quiet.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
The greater the anointing, the greater the affliction.
That's right.
Kim, let me ask this question. It ain't rock sound. Ask this question. How many books of the Bible did Barnabas have? Zero. How many books does Paul have? So isn't it interesting that they dragged Paul, not Barnabas?
That's right.
Maybe the enemy knew there's more store for him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I gotta take him out. So because he's going to do more, I'm gonna put more on.
Come on now. Come on, sir.
So the affliction is a reminder to me that my destiny is greater.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This thing is so bad. No matter how bad it is, God always sends me a nugget saying, son, the greater the affliction, the greater way I'm taking you.
Yeah.
Because I'm using the greater affliction for what's in you to come.
Bring it up.
Like a tea bag. You put it in hot water, and eventually the tea bag takes over the water, and it becomes tea. All right, let me move on. The Bible said that he dragged him out of the city, right? So he's dead. Here now, the disciples gather around.
no matter how much people get in Jasper, no matter how much I get haters, because they're going to come the minute you start to sing. As long as you are marginalized, you're going to get haters like that. But the minute you get closer to God, the haters start coming out. And the haters come from the people you least expect. You least expect some people to hate on you. I'm amazed at church folk. Because church folk are the worst.
Well,
okay, all right. So here, Brother Angelo, the Bible said that the disciples gathered around you. They started praying. So, sister, no matter how much I get haters, no matter the hardship, God always sends help.
Yeah, that's right.
They gathered around him. And the Bible says they started praying.
Yes, sir.
Can you imagine them praying? He's dead.
He's dead.
So as they're praying, the Bible says that Paul starts to get up. So why do you say death is to survive? I'm glad to ask. Because there's no way God can let me die here.
Come on.
Brother Angelo, in chapter 9, he says, you're going to be called to go somewhere.
Yeah.
That you're going to do some things for me. So God already told Paul, you're going to suffer. So Paul is not obliged to suffering because God told him. But number two, he said, I've destined you for a great destiny. You must go to Rome. You must go before Felix. You must go before Agrippa because God said, before you go get it, I've already ordained that you would go through it.
Yes, sir.
So some of you all here, it ain't because you just thought you would. No, God had favor.
That's right.
He had favor on your life, and you survived stuff that you folks been dead.
My Lord.
And the reason being is because God has a great destiny for you.
That's right.
His purpose in your life. And so here they gather around. Brother, can you imagine they hurt? Can you imagine prayer food? You know, you never experienced God in your prayer, and all of a sudden now your loved one to the barber is dead because she's serving Jesus. And they throw her down. You're angry, you're mad, but you're scared too, because I may be next. And all of a sudden now you're praying. And as you're praying, you're seeing the miraculous power of God resurrect Sister Barbara. Can you imagine as you're praying that her ankles start to move, and then you start to see her fingers start to move a little bit, and then you start seeing she gets a shiver a little bit, and you're praying even more, saying, look at God, work in my prayer. I didn't know it was going to work like this, but I see God at work. And Paul gets up. And the Bible says he walks back in the next city. That's what you're about to say? It said next city? The next day, didn't it? So Paul went back to the same city. Isn't it interesting how God will call you back to the place you want to be delivered from? Can you imagine God calling you back to the people that act like they didn't want you?
My Lord.
And here, you know, this is my Kenny Cole lived on. What is life for Paul to go back to that city?
My Lord.
See, Kenny Cole, I got the hater moment. It's my moment.
Yeah,
dude. You threw that rock at me, but you didn't kill me, did you?
Look at me now. I'm here, man. What you got to say now? I'm back right now. I'm fine for Jesus. What you got to say now? Throw another stone at me. See why I'm going to survive that, too? Come on, throw it at me.
I don't think that's his spirit.
No.
I think Paul got up and just him, his near presence, showed the miraculous power of God.
My Lord.
And as I'm walking in the line, I know those people said, is that the dude we just killed over there? Didn't we drag him out and he's dead? He's alive again.
My Lord.
Now, Brother Pastor, I thought Jesus said, when you go to a city, when they don't receive you, kick them and leave and what? Don't come back. Right? So he gave the disciples that motive, but Paul goes back in the same city. How did Paul was able to go
to the same city. Little Bruce will help me with this. Man, Bruce was playing PlayStation 3. So you all that know what PlayStation 3 is, it's a video game system that young people play. It's almost, it's animated. It's almost like you're really playing an actual sport again. So it's a video. So we're playing football. So I'm the Dallas Cowboys, he's Philadelphia Eagles. And so as we're playing, right? Now, I am, at this time, involved in ministry heavy. I'm gone all the time. I'm not around a lot. And so that's a sacrifice I have to make in order for me to do ministry. So I've gone a lot, preaching a lot, doing a lot of stuff. So Bruce was cherishing the moment of time. He's young, about 11 at this time. We're playing. And he's like, okay, you know what? I need you to turn your phone off because this is my time with you. And I want to play PlayStation. He had just got the video system. And so here we are now. He wants to play. And it says, we're out there about to play, right? I'm saying, we're playing now. And Bruce is beating me 28-0. I think 28-0. We'll be able to go 28-0. So here I am playing, and I'm defeated. So here I am. I didn't realize, said Deacon Samuels, that my cell phone was turned off. Because at any moment, my cell phone should be ringing, that somebody will give me an excuse to leave. So here I am playing him. And as I'm playing him, that I'm losing. So when I finally get a little momentum, I get an interception, and I'm about to run. What happened was that as I'm running, right, for a touchdown, the screen froze. So here I am, the screen froze, and I'm playing this video. Boy, you lucky. Because if this screen ain't froze, boy, I was on my way to come back. It was going to be over. Thank the Lord for the screen froze. Let me grab my cell phone, and let me get on out of here. It's time for me to go. I'll come back next time, boy, and I'm going to get you. Okay, now where you going? I said, no, Bruce, the game froze. It's over. We got to restart it all over again. And let's just keep playing. He said, oh, okay. Mom, don't eat. So I said, what do you mean, don't eat? He said, all right, no, hold on a second. Sit down. You go sit down. I sat down, and he said, he went up to the console. Hit the eject button, took the disc out, wiped it off, blew on it, put it back in, and the game started working.
Got it.
My man, he goes up to the console of a broke system.
Yeah.
Hit the eject button.
Yeah.
Took the disc out.
Yeah.
Wiped it off.
Yeah.
Blew on it.
Yeah.
Put it back in.
Yeah.
And started working.
Yes, sir.
Got you.
Yeah, I got you.
What I'm perplexed about is the people say they got it.
Yeah.
Because I was propounded when I saw it. Because that didn't make logical sense to me.
Right.
Father, if the system broke, it don't make sense that if you take the disc out,
it should
automatically reset.
Yeah.
And as it resets, it don't go back to the same thing. People sit and say, they understand they got. I'm confused as to how you get a broke system with a broke disc, he puts it back in, and it starts working. It makes sense if you put it in a new system.
Right.
He puts it back in a
broken system.
And here's what God said to you. While you're going through what you're going through. And it gets harder, and it gets harder. And you're in the brink of, I'm about to give up, I'm about to throw in the towel. But God somehow goes in the middle of your chaos. And grab the machine.
Come on, son.
And push it to button. Pull you out. Wipe you off. Throw his spirit on you. Put you back in and you start working. Come on, here. The reason why you're here and you got the suit on, you're looking good. You're going through hell for what God has done. He went up in your chaos.
Yes, sir.
Wipe you off. Yes. Blow his spirit on.
Yes.
Put you back in. Stop giving you credit. You ain't doing it. Stop it.
Wow,
God is the one. It's me. And I don't know who it is in 2014.
My Lord.
Here's what blew my mind. People know Rev Jasper. They cry and they know God did it. When they didn't expect him to do it, they did it.
And then they get up in here and say, I agree with you, preacher. Yeah, yeah. No response.
And I'm like, what does God have to do to get some broke system people?
Yeah.
That have broke, God pulled you out of stuff that you know you should have died. But yet now you're still here. Is there any cancer patients here? That you went to radiation and went through all the chemotherapy and they gave up on you. God said, why you going through the radiation? How you say it? My hair grew back. My body is not healthy.
My Lord.
What did God do? He wiped off the residue. And when people see you now, they don't even know that you've been through it.
My Lord.
Brother West. Come here, Brother West. Come here, Brother West, real quick. Come on. Come here, Brother West. You can meet me. Brother West, you can meet me. I don't know about y'all. I just give God glory.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Can you give me a moment, Annette? Come on. Come on, Annette. Come on up. Come on, come on up.
Come on.
Let's make that all people see. And how God rejects you. And how God pulls you out of what you're going through. Come on up here for Brother Cruz. Come on up here for Brother Cruz. Come on up here. Let him see how God ejects people. Where the doctors have given up. Hallelujah. But look at him now. Brother Cruz said, I ain't gonna need nobody walk for me. I'm gonna walk myself. Hallelujah. Yeah, glory. Come on. Come on. He ain't the only one. Is there anybody here that suffered anything and been through something and God has rejected you? Come on up front. Let the next Mount Olive see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on. Look at these miracles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. Yeah. Look at these Pauls. Look at these Pauls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know they ain't the only one. Come on. Come on. There's other people who've been through. Hallelujah. And you know. If you don't come up to raise your hand, if you know you've been through something and you don't look like what you're going through, come on and take a moment to praise him. Take a moment to worship him. Take a moment to honor him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for making me all. Thank you for blowing your spirit in me. Thank you for giving me another chance. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hi, God. I know I've been long, but can I give the pause about 15 seconds just to say whatever the Lord, and to give it to him, what would you really want to say that you may have already said, but just let my arm know how you really feel of what God has.
Y'all know what I mean.
Ooh, God.
Yes, sir.
I'm just so glad that first of all, it didn't take my foot.
Yeah, all right.
Yes, sir.
That'll be coming back. I'll be walking soon.
Bless the Lord.
Ah, God. Yeah, God.
Woo! The whole time he's going through this thing, he's showing you stuff about yourself.
My Lord. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. I want to thank the Lord. I had a stroke and I couldn't talk.
My Lord.
Hallelujah.
Really upset.
Hallelujah.
I didn't know what I'd be able to talk again.
Yes, sir.
I write down everything.
Tell it.
Yeah.
The Lord's
Yeah.
I came back from the dead. I am the survivor of a ruptured aorta.
Hallelujah.
I have talked to quite a few people that has went through aorta operations, but I have not talked to anyone that has went through one and has survived.
My Lord.
I really thank the Lord today.
My Lord.
The Lord doesn't do anything else for me. He's already done enough for me. About 15 years ago now, I had a tumor on my kidney. That was the first time that I actually had cancer. And I had a malignant tumor on my kidney, so they removed my kidney. So, and then, of course, I've had breast cancer. Went through chemotherapy, surgery after surgery after surgery. I had four surgeries, but I'm healed, and I just thank God for being healed on today. And you know, again, I say, if He doesn't do another thing for me, and you know, there's other women in here that have gone through breast cancer far worse than what I went through. And so I just thank God for the women at First Mount Olive. Women that encourage me, that, you know, you really bless me when you encourage me with your words, with your hugs, with your love. I'm blessed to be a part of this church family. I'm so blessed. So I just thank God for each and every one of you. And again, I say, you know, if God doesn't do another thing, He's already blessed me to be a part of this church family, and just to just love on all of you. I just love you all so very much.
Every day, 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with heart failure. And when I was in the hospital, they were going to put a fibrillator in my heart in case it stopped. I told the doctor, you don't have to do that because I know who my doctor is. So when they got ready to discharge me, he said, you can go home. Because you don't need it. It's been 3 years. I feel good.
I saw it in Eunice, and I saw it
and little Lois.
Yeah.
Minister, where are you going with this? I'm glad you asked. Eunice and Lois was from Lystra.
That's right.
At the moment that Paul is going through, and God resurrects him, Eunice and Lois is sitting and watching God do the miracle through Paul and transfer that moment down to Timothy. That God got people around you who are watching you go through.
Yes,
don't bellyache. Don't complain. Give God praise. Give God glory. Give God the honor because he's using you. Hallelujah. He's using your life. He's using your life. Let's all stand. He's using your life. And this year, don't walk in 2014 without a relationship with Jesus. There's a call to you for salvation. I know God's a miracle worker, but the greatest miracle that's ever been given in my life, and any of these, was not the healing, was not the deliverance, but salvation is the greatest gift that God can ever give. And if you have never experienced salvation, he said, I come. Come on down this altar. God is waiting for you. Don't give up on yourself. He sent his son for you. If it's your moment. Hallelujah. I'm not going to beat you into it. He says, I'm the day. This is the day of salvation. The day that you hear my heart, the day you hear my voice. No harm, not your heart. Come on. Don't be a church member and not have a relationship with Christ. Come into church does not get you a relationship with Christ. You can come to church and bust hell wide open. Come on. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is the moment. Hallelujah. If you're also here, you may be saved, but you've been visiting a church here and God has landed you here. And if you know that's you, come on. Don't drink and grow, that's a plan. Let Mount Olive be your train. Let Mount Olive be where you be planted. Hallelujah. There's no perfect church.
Yeah.
That's only God's church. So come on, that's you, come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is anybody going to take a moment?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I know I was going to apologize, but this moment, this is a crucial moment. I don't want people missing heaven. Or missing a point to join. We need you here. If God has called you here, we need you here. Come on and help us. Come on, help us build God's kingdom up. Hallelujah. There's plenty for you to do. It's a great church, great ministry, great pastor who will love you, shepherd you. If that's you, come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My last song. If somehow this message touched you, I want you to come down and offer, let us pray. This is your moment that you be encouraged. I'm going to ask Reverend Jasper to pray for us as we come down to the altar. Hallelujah. If this is you, this message touched you in some way that you know you need to be encouraged. God says you're destined to survive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You ain't got to come if that's not where you want to be, but Reverend Jasper is going to pray for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of us are going through so much and we need to be encouraged. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Find some room. Let's find some room. Where are we going? Hallelujah.
Touch hands with somebody.
Yeah. Make sure you're touching somebody. Please make sure you're touching somebody. We got to break some lines. Make sure we break some lines and touch your hands. And make sure we do that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But before Rev Jasper prays, the Bible is in Romans chapter 12. Rejoice with those that rejoice, and weep with those who weep. So I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, whatever you're going through, I weep with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to the other side and say, neighbor, as you have been healed and delivered from God, I celebrate with you. I rejoice with you. God has done it in your life.
Hallelujah, 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 hallujah. Come on, we can celebrate better than that. Let's celebrate. Hallelujah.
Father of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob.
Yes.
Our Father.
Yes.
Our Father.
Yes.
He who sits high in the glory.
Yes.
We come to tell you thank you.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you that we are destined to survive.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, that what we've gone through has not taken us out, but only built us up.
Yes.
Lord, we know now, in listening to your word on today, that we've been brought to this point for a reason.
Yes.
We may not arrive at the place the right way. We have not done all that we should have done, but Lord, for some reason you allowed us to be here on this Sunday. As we enter, get ready to enter a new year, we want to tell you thank you. We've seen your testimony and those who have stood before us and told us how you brought them out of sickness and out of conditions where others did not make it, but somehow they made it. But truth be told, when each one of us look at ourselves, we didn't make it here on our own. You brought us. And we want to tell you thank you. We didn't wake ourselves up this morning. We didn't put ourselves to bed on last night. But Lord, you did it, and we want to tell you thank you. And we know that you have a purpose for our lives, and we have a place to go. We are destined to survive. Lord, allow us as we walk into this new year to put behind us that is behind. And put before us a goal to serve, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Anoint each person here, Lord, to do the thing that you define each of us to do individually and also collectively. As a church, Lord, we know we have a work to do. And there's a world out there hurting that needs to hear a word. And Lord, not so much in the words that we say, but in the lives that we live. Let us walk a walk before them so they can say, truly, there's something different about this person. Something that I want to know. And that even though we may be quiet, that we find ourselves walking back into the city, having been what they thought was dead, but somehow we've been brushed off, cleaned up, and put back into action. Lord, we thank you for your resurrection. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, because they thought they had taken him out, but you hung him on the cross. They thought he was done, but he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. They put him in the grave. They thought he was done, but the early Sunday morning, he stepped up out of the grave. Lord, we thank you for your resurrected Son. And he didn't stop there, but he stepped down at the right hand of God. And because he's sitting there, we can call on him. Lord, there's some who are here who are hurting. They're going into the new year hurting. Some who have lost loved ones. We know, Lord, that we don't know all the situation, but we know that we know you. And because we know you said, I am that I am. I am a doctor. I'm a lawyer. I'm a friend. I'm a covenant keeper. I am water. I'm bread. I'm shelter. I am that I am. Lord, we know that you are the great I am. Meet them where they are. Meet the need. If they're on a donkey, they need to be knocked down, knock them down. If we need to be built up, build us up. Whatever we need, Lord, you know, and we're depending on you. This is our prayer today in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, because we are destined. We are destined. We are destined to survive.